Many, many people have been helped by the counseling and writing and speaking ministry of Larry Crabb over the years. One of them, contemporary Christian music artist David Meese, has been at concert in Eau Claire in past years. His song, in fact, right here, dedicated to Crabb for his book, Inside Out.
Now to open that door, take a look inside, change what's in there.
From the inside out, inside out.
Find the window of truth, has a web of lies, and open it wide.
From the inside out.
Front page, WWIBandWib.com. Our final Crabb conversation with retired Christian counselor Rob Gillette and Dr. Jason Kanz. I'm Mark Halverson. Hour two of Live Local Talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated. We'll get into the mess and the news that is politics. Donald Trump with a major economic speech today in Detroit. And also, apparently, somebody with a CIA background is going to make a run for the White House. So that and more. After 11, Brian Westrate, the chair of the Republican Party for the 3rd Congressional District, will join us to work through a lot of things. We've got a lot of interesting political audio from over the weekend. But again, this Crabb conversation, Dr. Jason Kanz, you and I got going on this a little while ago. You and I knew each other, but it was when you were away at a Larry Crabb event, one of these, what are they called?
The School for Spiritual Direction.
Yeah, School for Spiritual Direction. You've been to that and the advanced one. And that... you kind of let me know.
Yeah, so I had kind of come across Larry's work through a different counseling program that I was working through. And I had gone to the School for Spiritual Direction, which was one of the highlights of my life. And you and I have talked about that. But one of the things that came up there midway through the week was that Larry Crabb was talking about his favorite radio interviewer, and he said it's Mark Halverson. And I thought, could this be the same Mark Halverson that I listened to on the radio? And so I think I either emailed you or tagged you on Facebook, something like that. And so when I got back from North Carolina, you said, let's get together. And we sat down and began a much deeper friendship than we've had in the past, and because of our mutual affection for Dr. Crabb.
And so that's what this hour, in fact, we're going to, we've covered books. We've covered Inside Out and Shattered Dreams and Men and Women. And it's taken us a few years on a monthly basis to do that. And Rob Gillette, you've joined in this because, Rob, you and I know each other going back. And that when you were first getting your counseling practice here, I remember even there was a training on the lower level here at WWIB having to do with Larry Crabb's book Inside Out, right?
Exactly. I was just coming out of grad school at that point in time. And most of the material I was looking at was based on family systems and family therapy. And I came across Dr. Crabb's book. I told you this last time when I was out running in Springfield, Illinois. It was purely accidental. It was one of those, ordained set of circumstances. But I was using that material on family systems, but I was going, it's all relational. That's what Dr. Crabb was talking about in Inside Out and how that forms our inner spiritual being. And so I kind of segued again away from what I had originally planned to teach downstairs into more of the Inside Out material.
Hmm. And so over time, I mean, Larry Crabb's own ministry has grown and developed. He had a period where he worked a lot with Dan Allender, and they co-authored some books together. And I have to say, you know, when people ask me your favorite guest as I wind down this show, the final few weeks here, August 31st, the last day. But I mean, people sometimes say, who's your favorite guest? And it's been Larry Crabb.
Right.
And we've been to his conferences. Jason, you're the only one of the three of us who's been able to go to the School of Spiritual Direction a couple of times. But I just want to say that for him, I mean, I just find in general, I've had the privilege of interviewing lots and lots of folks. But for Larry Crabb, there's like a greater depth. He's the real deal. And when I go back to Inside Out, and that's probably a good starting point.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't his first book, but, you know, in terms of real change is possible if you give him from the inside out. I mean, It's Matthew 23:25-26. You know, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like Larry Crabb, I mean, he's a deep thinker, and I think an original thinker even, and those are rare, but he provides great encouragement by that. I know for me, in different struggles that I was facing, even in the 90s, even working here, the idea that, wow, the bar for sin is way higher than we think it is.
Yeah.
And Jason, we've talked about that in the past in terms of this area of relational sin, and Crabb shined a light on that for me and maybe for all of us in a way that was like, aha, that's, you know, it's more than just abortion and homosexuality, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I, you had asked me to kind of talk about or think about ideas that have shaped, you know, or why I'm drawn to Larry Crabb. And that, for me, we often think of sin behavioral. Well, if I don't look at porn, and if I avoid sex before marriage, and if I don't do drugs, I'm good. Larry Crabb pushes that so much farther. In fact, as I was thinking about this, this is Sermon on the Mount, right? I mean, Jesus preaching in the Sermon on the Mount is relational. I mean, it's what matters is how loving are you? How much are you caring for those who are in your presence? And Larry pushes us to think this is more than just, am I following a set of rules? It's, am I fully loving? Am I other-centered? Am I relational? And it takes it, as you said just a minute ago, it takes it to a whole nother level than where we've been.
Well, and if you look at the book of Galatians, it gives you a list of the fruits of the flesh. Well, a lot of times we work on the first portion mm-hmm. of those fruits of the flesh, which yeah. is lust, sexual immorality, drunkenness, idolatry, etc., etc. But then we take a break and we yeah. stop. And the second period of the list of that sin is relational sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like selfish ambition,
yeah.
fits of rage, you know, different things along those groundworks. It's all self-protective devices. Yep. And we don't talk about that much. And what we do is we fail to love then. Because right. if we keep performing those, we are in the reverse of loving the other as loving ourselves.
Well, when you say self-protective, again, that goes to that best-selling book, Inside Out, the idea of love and self-protection, right? I mean, we think about love and hate, but, I mean, the Bible says love and fear, because perfect love casts out all the fear. And what is the fear? The fear of getting hurt. If I love you the way God calls me to, you know, I've been hurt before, and so yeah. I've learned to shrink back and self-protect, yeah. and yet Crabb challenges in that book, and really, I think, throughout his writing ministry, in terms of the idea of in every instance in life, in every relational situation, in terms of what we do and what we don't do, right? We're called to be loving. And to whatever degree we're not perfectly, that's sin. Well, I mean, that's a way higher bar
yeah.
for sin than we typically hear.
Yep. I think that... When you push people on that, and myself included, that's really challenging. When you think about the idea that if I'm not perfectly loving in every circumstance I'm in, I'm falling short of the glory of God. Larry talks a lot about the relational glory of God. You know, that we talk about God's glory as being wholly other, but he also talks about in John 17, we talk a lot about John 17 in here, but that idea of, we put on display the relational glory of God by how well we relate with one another. And we all fall short of that every single day of our lives, but that's what we're called to. We're called to love wholly. We're called to other-centered, to a radical other-centeredness mm-hmm. that most of us fail at
now,
in every relationship.
Rob Gillette, somebody might hear this and go, boy, you guys, you just want to be depressed and, you know, talk about how high the bar is and you can't
sure,
measure up.
Why not?
No, I mean, it's about recognizing, right? Law and grace, recognizing that royal law that I think Crabb does a wonderful job of elevating, and yet to point us to his grace. Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need him every bit of the way.
Some of the most depressed people I've met in my life are the ones that was working hardest on the behavioral sins and what I call stop behaviors. Mm-hmm. You know, quitting drinking, quitting, you know, pornography, quitting, you know, swearing in public or whatever you want to put to it. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole different tier of sins that we fail to recognize, and that's failing to love well from a pure heart. And a pure heart is one that does not seek to get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. And very few of us really have the ability to do that, because deep down inside, unconsciously, when we love somebody well, especially sacrificially, we're kind of jumping up and down with our hand in the air. Hey, I'm over here. I did this. Come on, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
Rob, I'm remembering you and I at, it was 1994, we were in Appleton, and it was, I wasn't married yet, but you were there with your wife, Lisa.
And she was in the car and pregnant with her first daughter.
Is that right? And it was a Larry Crabb conference, and there were hundreds of people. But again, trying to underscore today in this final Crabb conversation here on this Monday on WibandWib.com, the idea of what is it about this author, this guy that you guys are so enamored with? And as he stood in front of them, I heard something I hadn't necessarily heard from other pastors and leaders. And he said, I'm a mess and so are you. And he told a story of his first book was basic biblical counseling. And it came out the same time another book, I'm Okay, You're Okay, it came out. And this is a famous Crabb story.
Yeah.
And the idea of, Larry's idea was, well, I'm Okay, You're Okay is a bestseller. I think that we should. And the book's kind of got a boring title, Basic Biblical Counseling. I think we should call it I'm a Mess, You're a Mess. Well, the publisher didn't go with it. They went with Basic Biblical Counseling. But what is this about in terms of I'm a mess, you're a mess? Because we can get uncomfortable with that. I can come to this radio microphone in the morning and say I'm a mess, you're a mess. And I've done that in the past. I used to call my early morning show The Morning Mess, and people are like, well, maybe you're a mess, but I'm not a mess. I mean, what is it? How can he say so confidently, and especially even this mature, admired Christian, that he's a mess? What does he mean?
Well, going back to your first question about, do we want people just to be depressed or whatever out there? Of course not. But until we deal with, our disappointments and our own personal sin towards others, which is going to be sad, we are not going to find the relief and the love in Christ's forgiveness. And we have to go back to I am a mess, when it's from God's standards, not by earthly standards. I'm probably just average Joe. I'm not really well, not really poor. By God's standards, I am a mess. And if we get to that point, well, that sounds terribly depressing, mm-hmm. but it's not, because that's when you open the gate to God to touch your heart and show you the forgiveness and grace and the love that only He can do.
And I would just add to that, I think Larry is able to say I'm a mess, you're a mess, because he's self-aware. I think there's a piece of that, that if any of us looks honestly at our own hearts, we realize how messy we are, how far short of God's glory we fall. And he calls for community that's radically honest with one another, to be able to go and say, here's where I'm struggling, to confess sins to one another. But, and this is the important thing that I don't want to be missed with Larry's message, to receive the grace of Christ. He's very much talks about the importance of offering grace as well. It's not simply be relationally perfect. It is Christ has come because you're not. And we are loved by God in our relational mess.
Well, and that's what I was talking about when I said stop behaviors. Yeah. A lot of times we can be very well of those big sins.
Yeah.
But we are unaware of how we fail to love poorly.
Right.
And that's the area where God's standard is a lot higher than humans.
Absolutely.
And out of it, when we learn to do those things, we're doing a start behavior instead. We're filling a gap. But we can only do that.
Yeah.
How, Jason? We love because
we're first loved.
And that's when we open the floodgates, when we open up and admit we're failing in those areas.
Well, I know for me, my prayer life has transformed since starting to read Larry. And part of that is I used to pray about, God, forgive me for this, help me to not do this, 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 and this. And now it's every morning I pray through the list of the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Fill me with love. Fill me with joy. Help me to be peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled. And then I add humble to the list.
And then help me to see that other person as you do.
Absolutely.
And if I don't, let me know about it.
Right.
And I think we're going to take a little bit of a break, but the latest book from Larry Crabb is A Different Kind of Happiness, and discovering the joy that comes from sacrificial love. And I think maybe last month, Jason, you gave us that prayer, and I shared it. It was on social media, and it was popular. Let's share that again, because that's about relationship. He bills it as the prayer that God always answers. And we'll get into that. Trinitarian relating, shallow copers versus troubled reflectors. What is Larry Crabb's New Way ministry all about? And again, some of the reasons that we're big fans of this writer and Christian brother, Larry Crabb, newwayministries.org, his website.
Say, don't waste your time. You simply cannot find an ounce of good within the heart of man. They say we've got to lay in the bed we've made and live this life without a second chance.
Maybe you'll bring it in a pocket.
My wallet.
Purse.
In my backpack.
It doesn't matter how your photo ID gets there, just be sure to bring it. Because now Wisconsin voters must show a photo ID.
Like a Wisconsin driver license.
Or a passport.
Or my college ID.
Before they can cast a ballot in the next election. There are many different forms of ID you can use. For the complete list, visit bringit.wisconsin.gov or call 1-866-VOTE-WIS. And don't forget
to bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it to the ballot.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Oh, hey now, Mama. Oh, what's going on?
It's a car show, Daddy-O.
It's Stockman's third annual car show, Sunday, August 14th in Osseo. Free admission and no entry fee. If it has a motor and wheels, bring it and the whole family. Enjoy a live DJ with the music of the 50s and 60s, on-site concessions, and, of course, plenty of trophies and prizes. The third annual car show at Stockman's in Osseo, 10 to 2 on August 14th.
Oh, hey, don't be a hound dog. See you at the car show. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
Bo is a high school football star with a bright future. With the football season at stake, he's caught drinking, putting his team in jeopardy and his family. But the family begins to draw on their faith, and they're reminded that things will work out for the best in the end. During Catch and Match August, for a suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry, ask for the DVD filmed in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, Catching Faith. Dove rated 12 plus, faith friendly. Call, go to WWIB.com, write, or stop by the studios.
Your joy, when the morning comes, your hope keeps me looking up. You are enough.
Matt Maher, Everything is Grace, front page, WWIBandWib.com. A lot of times we call it a Relationship Monday. Guess what? That ties back to Larry Crabb. We can talk about that. And this is our final Crabb conversation here. And my final month, having the privilege and opportunity of producing and hosting Front Page. 26 days, our family flies out of the Twin Cities to D.C., Brussels, and Liberia, West Africa for 9 months. And that's pretty radical. So,
and that's going to be hard for me because I've known you since we moved to town since 1990.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't bet who will leave first, because you would have won that. So,
I haven't known you as long, but I was feeling very bittersweet this morning. We've developed a very fast friendship over the last couple of years. And
I may even write you in for president. That's how close we are. Jason is, amongst many things, he's also graduated through the Chuck Colson Centurion Program, so he's very public affairs aware. But we're not going to go there. All right. Relationship Monday. You know, again, Crabb is the one I first heard from the idea that if you had to sum up the Bible in a word, relationship. And a lot of times I understood that in terms of, well, yeah, of course. I mean, the Ten Commandments, right? The first four about God, the next six about our relationships horizontally. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jason, let me start with you, Jason Cairns, because even before that, I mean, Crabb talks about the Trinitarian relating. And again, this is something you don't hear much about. And it's a big deal. This perfect relationship that always existed in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that when Jesus talks in John 13, 34, and 35, a new command, I give you, love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world's going to know you're my disciples. That's going to be a witness that they can see. We're supposed to follow Trinitarian relating.
Yeah, for me, that's probably been, you again asked a couple ideas that we needed to write down. And for me, the concept of Trinity as not just being a part of Christianity, but being essential to how we understand Christianity. Because if God is love, that means God has always been love. And the only way you see love is in relationship. And God has always existed in perfect relationship with himself.
Right.
It's amazing. And the call to that, the call to other-centered love, to honor another, is so high. I mean, it's just, it's such an amazing, beautiful thing that we're called to. I mean, you've had Kirk Thompson on the show. Last week, I think you had Chuck DeGroat on here. Our brains are wired to connect with other people. I mean, you could almost say that we have Trinitarian brains, or brains that were wired to reflect the Trinity. Because as you talk, my brain is wired to respond to you in a certain way. I mean, that's amazing. But that is honestly what we're called to. I mean, that's Jesus's ministry. I mean, when he calls out the Pharisees, it's you put these burdens on people that you're not willing to bear yourself. You are doing all of these things. You're keeping the letter of the law, but you're missing the spirit of the law, which is loving one another well, doing justice, doing mercy toward the poor, towards those who are disenfranchised. That's all relational.
Do you have a comment?
Well, yeah, I was gonna. One of his early books was The Marriage Builder, and I really like that book because it says it's a blueprint for couples and counselors. Well, I think it's more than that. I think it's a blueprint for anybody struggling in relationships. And
it is a great book, and it was a major tool for you and your counseling.
Exactly, because it goes back to the issue of the bottom line. Adam and Eve were perfect relationship with God before the fall. Mm-hmm. And out of that, every one of their spiritual, emotional needs were being met. When they sinned, there was a huge hole filled and or opened. And that's, you know, Pascal's hole in the heart phenomena. But we have the cross. And through the cross, we can start in this life to get that hole refilled with a sense of God's perfect love and presence, relationship again, mm-hmm. our relationship's established. So what are we supposed to do with that? We aren't supposed to just store it up. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to pour it out on others. And out of that, God will work at protecting our heart versus us guarding our heart. And so I take it when Scripture says guard your heart, mm-hmm. we are to be looking to be able to walk in the presence of Christ and letting him cover us so that our hearts don't get wounded.
That takes me to a verse I love, Galatians 5, 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Again, remembering that in Crabbe and Inside Out talks about love and self-protection, and that when I'm loving, you know, look at one of the great lovers of the 20th century, Mother Teresa, right? I mean, that first guy in Calcutta and all the love. And the idea is faith says God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. I can step out relationally and love.
Yeah.
Right?
And I still may get hurt, but it's not going to kill me.
Right. I'm going to trust God.
Well, I think that there's a connection there. Larry received spiritual direction from Brennan Manning, which I find phenomenal. But Brennan Manning's idea of there's a God who loves you so much, he pulls you up into his lap, and he just loves on you. You know, and when you live out of that reality, that being God's precious child, that there's nothing you can do that would separate you from him, that allows you to move toward others in love. And I think those two have to be connected, that understanding of how much God loves me in order to love others well.
And I wholeheartedly agree, Jason. I think the issue arises when we start to try to do selfless love.
Yeah.
There's the unconscious question arises in our heart. Now, who's going to protect
me? Take care of me. Absolutely.
And that's where we're going with this.
We Absolutely. Could turn this whole hour into another discussion on Brennan Manning, too. But and I play him every morning here on WWIB. But I recently had a privilege of giving a four-part series on The Greatest, which is love in an area church. And as I was delving into Brennan again, Ragamuffin Gospel, mm-hmm. Embracing God's Unconditional Love, he talks in there about how resistant we are to whether it's fully and freely preaching that love, mm-hmm. or in terms of even embracing it. Like, mm-hmm. what is the fight? If there's a common theme there in terms of Crabbe and Manning, acknowledge the depth of your depravity.
Yep.
And it's only to that degree you're going to fully appreciate his grace and his mercy. So I guess it comes back to our pride, right? We don't want to acknowledge how wretched we really are, but right. we miss out on how completely desperately we need that we're beggars and paupers and ragamuffins.
We're absolutely. And just kind of thinking through that, I think there's that whole self-protective piece. We talked about that. I think it was Men and Women, the first book that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that idea of self-protection. And that happens because I think we always feel like we need to clean ourselves up before we go to God. And that's not what God tells us. He says, come to me, you know.
All those years of the Billy Graham crusade, right? Just as I am.
Just
that
as
was
I
the
am.
Invitation song.
Absolutely.
But there was a problem with that. A lot of times we thought that was the end of it. Just come on that mm-hmm. one set of circumstances,
yep.
and you are all set for life.
Yep.
And it's a daily process. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation overnight when you go mm-hmm. to sleep, but it is a daily reawakening to the presence
gospel.
Of God.
Absolutely. And that gets back to Jerry Bridges, who we all like as
uh-huh,
well.
Uh-huh.
You know, preach the gospel to yourself every day.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm saved for what I did. It's saved for what I'm doing and what I will do.
Uh-huh.
Larry talks, one of the ideas that I really like from him is he talks about the importance of the new covenant and that because of what Christ did, we now have the Spirit living within us. So we have, he talks about these four things, which I think he stole from Dwight Edwards. We have a new purity because of the new covenant. We have a new identity. We have a new inclination, and we have a new power. So we not only have a new identity in Christ, but we have a new, we're turned differently now. We're turned more away from sin. We have the ability to avoid sin when maybe we didn't before.
The funny thing, and this is a personal testimony, you know, back in the days before they had roads when I was a young Christian, the bottom line was I can remember struggling with sin. And the thing that amazed me the most about it was, the biggest thing that amazed me most about it was that I was struggling with it.
Yeah.
Because before I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Now and all of a sudden, and it wasn't because what the pastor was going to say, what the congregation was going to say. It was, you know, how does this work with my relationship with God?
Right.
You have a changed heart, circumcised heart.
Absolutely. And I'll tell young believers that who are really bothered that they're struggling with sin. And I'm like, praise God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's an amazing gift.
Why?
Just to
Explain
be aware.
Why? Explain why.
Yeah, I mean, just to be aware that God is calling me to something different. God is moving me in a different direction. Now, granted, I'm falling on my face a lot. I mean, Proverbs.
I would never do that.
Yeah, but yeah, me neither. But you know, the younger Christian, of course, we all. And that's something we struggle with throughout our lives. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. That doesn't say we're not going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
It says we're going to fail in terms of our battle against sin, but it is a struggle. It is a battle against it.
Real quick, that reminds me of a famous Brennan Manning, Larry Crabb story that Larry tells. You probably heard this idea of being down, and he talks with Brennan, and he just thinks, so messed up. And Brennan instead sees this beauty because Larry's doing, you're wrestling with this.
Yeah.
Larry, can you see this?
Yeah. And he says, and in fact, Brennan apparently started crying, and Larry's like, what is going on? And he said, I am so drawn to Jesus because of what's happening.
Right.
You show me Jesus by the way you're struggling.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
If we could see that in one another's lives.
And how different is that, though, than what's often seen as what the world would see, right? This whole have it all together, happy face Christian, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness to Billy Graham, I don't think that was the concept behind his crusades, but I think that's what got taken away from it, that we got it all together and we got saved, we've arrived, now we should be able to know everything, you know, we've got certainty about everything, and the bottom line is we can move ahead. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that was Dr. Graham's original intent with us. I think this is people's takeaway. When we do that, we are basically going into 1 John and saying, I've got sin, but I'm going to deny it. I'm going to pretend I don't. Mm-hmm. And so out of it, we can't receive the cleansing and forgiveness and the renewal in the Spirit.
Right.
So we may fall down seven times, but we're going to probably fall down seven times more because the Spirit's not going to be available to pick us up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
as we go there. But when we get to that point where we realize we haven't arrived, that's when the Spirit starts to pick us up. When we fall down seven times, well, the next time it may be four. Next time it may be eight, uh-huh. But we're moving ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave Paulison, who was the head of Christian Counseling Education Foundation for a long time, used the picture of sanctification like a yo-yo that's going up a flight of steps.
Yep.
So there's ups and downs and ups and downs, but you're moving toward God. You know, you won't arrive, not until heaven, but there's changes that happen. I'm a different person now than I was 20 years ago as a new believer. I'll be a different person in 20 more years than I am now. Am I still struggling with sin? Absolutely. The things I find that I'm struggling with now are maybe a little bit different than they were then, but they're still enough to separate me from the grace of Christ or God's holiness apart from the grace of Christ.
So. I had a couple of thoughts just to go back real quick. I remember at Life Fest a couple of years ago, the lead singer from Casting Crowns, Mark Hall, he said to the crowd between songs, he said, I don't think the world didn't have a difficulty believing that you sin. They have a difficulty believing that you don't.
Right.
And so that was very challenging in terms of take your mask off, which is very consistent with Larry Crabb. But even as you talk about growth, I've liked my friend Ed Ramsey, as we've talked about addiction and recovery over the years. He started First Things First now and has since sold that and retired. But he talked about the fact that recovery, and think about this and see if this doesn't fit for Christian growth, is like going up a down escalator. Now, don't go do that at the escalator in the nearest big city. We don't have too many escalators in Eau Claire. But the fact is that, you know, that just like the world, the flesh and the devil is going to carry, and there's no staying put. I mean, you're either growing or you're backsliding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the world, the flesh and the devil are going to carry you backward, but are you intentional? And the thing is that applied to recovery. And you got, you know, working with addiction is the idea of it's one thing to be sober, but are you growing in your character? Mm-hmm. And the same thing spiritually, right? We talk about growing in the
Exactly,
fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly. And see, all the things we're talking about is, an overview of what Dr. Crabb's heart was all about through all his writings is, number one, things happen relationally. The first was the fall. You know, Adam and Eve sinned. Somehow, in order to get a relationship with God, there had to be a recovery. God provided it for us with the cross. Out of it, we're to reestablish the relationships that was meant to be before the fall. Mm-hmm. We're to start pouring out. And Christ came to show us how to do that. Was part of his mission.
Yeah.
And as we do this, the whole process becomes sanctification. We become more and more little bitty Jesuses. I never fully. I say pretty small.
The C.S. Lewis comment about little Christ.
Yeah. And, but, you know, we're never it. But mm-hmm. we start to become more like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my early questions when I was a young believer was, how can I distinguish the Holy Spirit from my own thoughts? Mm-hmm. That really used to bother me. You know, what's God? What's me? And I was just thinking about this the other day. Now that I was retired, I was able to sit in the yard and, you know, sit under a shade tree with a glass of iced tea and think. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden it dawned on me which parts were really clearly Christ talking versus which were. And these were everything that affirmed Scripture, everything that drew Scripture up from the past that I'd never even thought about. You know, things that would help me to look at another person and not see somebody that's a problem, but see somebody that's having a problem that really needs loved out of it.
We got a real short break. More to come. It's our final Crabb conversation here on a Relationship Monday front page as we talk about and celebrate the writing and ministry of Larry Crabb from newwayministries.org. Your questions and comments welcome at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark@wib.com. When we come back, Larry's unique definition of faith, hope, and love.
Back to school already? Your kids may not be happy, but your feet and your pocketbook will be during Mason Outlet's huge back-to-school sale on now. All shoes store-wide are buy one, get one half off. Look good and save on the brands kids love, like Merrell, Skechers, Keen, Saucony, and so much more. Mason Outlet is sharpening their pencils. Save on shoes for the whole family. All shoes are buy one, get one half off. Savings are in session during the back-to-school sale on now at Mason Outlet, downtown Chippewa Falls.
Front page, WWIB, Point of Grace. Economy Furniture, the best national regional brands of furniture, all at everyday low prices, locally owned and serving the Chippewa Valley since 1950. It's Economy Furniture. You know, school begins soon, and Noble's Tire Service encourages you to be watching out for those kiddos while you drive. And Heritage Assisted Living in Eau Claire has immediate openings. To learn more about the Heritage family and assisted living or memory care, click on lifestyle options at heritagesenior.com or to schedule a tour by calling 829-8000. That's 829-8000. All right, so New Way Ministries is what Larry Crabb calls things now. And he said different developments. I mean, I think you can go back to Institute for Biblical Counseling, right? Institute for Biblical Community. But he really, for a number of years now, has settled with New Way Ministries. And you can go to newwayministries.org. And here's what it'll tell you. Their calling is to ignite a revolution in, here it is, relationships. A new way to live that explores the real battle in our souls and frees us to value intimacy with God more than blessings from God. It's a new way that's as old as the Bible. It's what following Jesus is all about. And they get more into it. But the New Way Ministries founded in 2002 and gets into some of the things that we've talked about here this hour. So,
yeah, I would just speak to that, the New Way Ministries concept. I've read everything Larry has written, much of it multiple times. I listened to all of his audio teachings. And there's been it's been interesting to look at kind of the change over time, kind of in how his thinking has developed. I would just, if anyone has the opportunity, you don't have to be a Christian counselor to go to the School for Spiritual Direction. It's pricey, but man, I went... my wife has gone. It has been truly one of the most amazing things I've ever been a part of.
It's a whole week. What's it like?
It's a whole week of diving into these concepts of what does relationality look like? How do you help people? How do you develop a vision for people? How do you become aware of the passions that are stirring in your own heart? You actually go through the process of spiritual direction when you're there. And I had the opportunity to have Larry be my spiritual director, which I cannot possibly indicate how wonderful that was for me. Real turning point in my relationship with my eldest daughter as a result of that. Hmm. And you know, his pushing me and challenging me in ways that I hadn't been before.
Relationally.
And... It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's with, you know, 30 people total. So you kind of work through these concepts. You walk in the room and there's Kleenex sitting every 3 feet and you're like, I'm in for something. I mean, lots of tears from most people. I know for me that I cried both times I went.
I mean, I think a global impact. I mean, he's been certainly to Europe and, and different places and these ideas. And listen, I mean, I plan to take this to Africa. Part of my assignment, my wife's gone from executive director of Teamwork Africa. She's going to work a lot with Teamwork Africa, Liberia, and wanting to work with the school, Great King Academy. What's Mark going to do? Well, we'll find out. But I mean, a lot of that is training and discipling pastors. And I mean, I want to beg, borrow, and take as much from Larry Crabb as I can.
Yeah.
To try to bring it there and other ideas. Yeah. But he talks about these three topics that he really zeroes in on. Encounter, what it means to experience God. Transformation, what it means to become like Christ. We've talked about that. And community, what real community is and what its role is in helping us experience God and be formed spiritually.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, for me, we've talked about this men's group Saturday morning, 6:30, Brothers in Brokenness. I mean, there's a couple of Bible verses and a Larry Crabb quote that kind of shine the light for us. You know, Crabb says, where there's pretense, there's no spiritual growth. So come on, guys, let's pray. Then let's take off our masks. What's the good, the bad, and the ugly going on in your life right now? And let's be and do real relationship. Because otherwise, if I got my mask on, you got your mask on, you don't really know me. I don't really know you. And how often, Rob, I've talked with you about that in the past. I mean, you remember, not to demean the church, but in general, you can hear a great sermon. There can be a great worship time. And then I love the Packers too, but a lot of times the overflow conversation is frequently, right? It's about superficial,
it's not
worldly
necessarily
topics.
How their heart was moved to a greater sense of awe and reverence, which is what worship is supposed to be. And we call these services worship services. And so, you know, not to be mean-spirited or sarcastic, I think most pastors are doing the best they can with the tools they got. I think it's a very, very, very hard job. But sometimes I think we miss the boat because we're not talking relationally where we're at with God and relationally where we're at with others. You heard me ask Larry Crabb the question on the radio one time when we interviewed him over one of his books. I said, do you think Christian counseling will ever go away? Because it was called, the book was The Safest Place on Earth. And it was supposed to be what the church is supposed to look like. And out of it, I asked him, he says, if the church starts, he says, no, the church will never work that way. But if it did, it would put Christian counseling out of business because you'd be able to come in there and be yourself and people would love you for that.
And that's well said. I mean, and that is another story, again, where when Larry was even at Grace Seminary in Indiana, and I think that's when Inside Out had come out, but at least he tells the story. He was doing counseling, but involved in the church. And this idea that he was, people in church, hi, how are you? Good, good. I mean, just kind of the way that it is. I mean, it's church. It's Sunday morning. I mean, you don't know people are all there. You look like you got it all together. But he knew that wasn't the case because I'm meeting with many of you for counseling during the week, and I know that it's a mess. And so how can we get from that counseling during the week trouble to what can frequently feel like the shallowness or the phoniness of the weekend service?
I think there's a few pieces that factor into that. One is that if you ask me how I'm doing on Sunday morning, a lot of times I am doing pretty well because I really like being at church. And so there's that piece that factors in. The other piece is that we have a lot of fairly large churches. You know, the church where I go is probably 300 people, and it's really hard to develop any sort of depth of relationship. You know, I can't just walk up to anyone in the lobby and say, hey, I'm really struggling with, and expect it to have a lot of depth of conversation. I think a few things need to happen. One is, I think the pastors and teachers model that some from the pulpit when they say, here's where I'm struggling with. We've talked in here in the past that Larry has said the worst sermon he ever heard was from a guy in his mid-40s who said, my kids are awesome, do this and your kids will be like them too, rather than saying, here's where I'm struggling.
Now that is Larry Crabb, where he can just say something, you go, hold it. No, 95% of us would say that's what we want to hear.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But he
it's
calls
dishonest.
It, he calls it recipe theology.
Yeah.
He
and
calls
it's dishonest. I mean,
in what way?
Because first of all, that guy's children are not perfect. They might be little Pharisees.
And he probably doesn't say that. But
right.
Yeah. And it may be a very temporary stage they're going through.
Not that
we wish that on people. We wish it to last.
Yeah. And if things are going well, awesome. But that's not, I think, reality for a lot of people. I think for a lot of people, they're struggling with, if I bring my mess through this door, am I acceptable?
Uh-huh.
If I really share everything that's going on in my life, in my heart, will they send me packing? That's the fear that a lot of people, I think it's a fear that keep a lot of people away from church, and it's what keeps a lot of people from sharing what's actually going on. So again, I think we have to have pastors leading that from the pulpit to say, I really messed up in this way. Another piece is the development of small groups. And I think close friendships are, and Larry talks about their small group. They have a commitment to staying together for life.
He calls it an intentional spiritual formation
group. Right.
Yeah.
And, but it's a commitment to, he said, we don't consider it as the bond quite as strong as marriage, but we have made a commitment that we are in this. And when things get messy, you stay. And that, you know, it's not a social club. There's that aspect of it. I mean, you enjoy meals together, but it is intentionally seeking to see Christ formed in one another. So,
yeah, I think the great thing about the Bible itself is that it, I remember reading it in the latter part of my freshman year in college back in 19. And so the fact is that, you know, is I'm like, wow, this matches with reality. I mean, it's a beautiful blue sky and the world is amazing. Look at Romans 1. Yes, God's created it, and yet it is fallen, and they're both true. And a lot of times with Crab books, I find that, you know what? He gets it. He gets the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he wants to be as real as possible, and he can help you towards spiritual growth, if that's what you're interested in, hopefully you are.
Go ahead.
Going back to the point about things in church that could, you know, you mentioned, Jason, about coming from the pulpit. I've been spending quite a bit of time with a fellow that's a pastor, and we've been really just talking about fishing a lot. we've been talking about you know, the Gospels a lot. Because all other scripture is subordinate to that. That's the heart of there. And if we get, you know, Paul's doctrine is subordinate to what Christ would say.
Right.
And too often we get lost in Pauline doctrine or, you know, what Peter said, and it hasn't been filtered through how would Christ relate. And as we do, then we fail to relate poorly. And going back to the pulpit, if you look at some of Pauline doctrine and Peter's doctrine, it looks like it's performance-based. Without seeing it through the lens of how Christ would relate. And if you see how Christ is relating, all those things just become an act of love versus, you know, a formula for, you know, a better life. And if we could get our, you know, seminaries more to focus on, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then to let everything else get filtered through that, I think we'd start to see this from the pulpit.
Well, I've said that I think a good exercise for most believers at any station in their life is to spend a year reading John 13 to 18, or John 13 to 17, the upper room discourse. You know, Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. I mean, that that is probably one of the most Christ-centered relational passages you will ever encounter. And it's Jesus saying, here's how I love you. Here's how I want to see you love one another. Here's how God loves me. Here's how God loves you. And I mean, just all of that is, I mean, John, we think of as, I mean, he's the love guy, right? I mean, but all of Scripture, when we look at it through the lens of how Christ related, even when he's turning over tables, is driven by love, you know? And
a love we don't, we'll never comprehend this side of eternity. We get better at it.
Hopefully.
All right. One final segment here in our last Crab Conversation for a Monday, just ahead here, WWIB.
The latest looks, the brands you want, all at prices you're going to love. Go back to school in style with Peebles. Run in for great deals on Nike shoes and apparel, like tees starting at just $19.98. And get Levi's for the whole family at prices that are pure genius, like men's jeans starting at $39.99. Plus, get extra savings online or by downloading our app. Make a dash for the back-to-class brands you want and the value you deserve. Peebles, part of our stage family. Exclusions apply.
Style inspired by you.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
I have loved you from the start. I have seen your hurting heart. And you feel so lonely, but you keep on hiding, 'cause you feel so guilty for what you've done.
Jordan Jordan Feliz, front page, WWIB, final few minutes in our last crab conversation here on this Monday, August the 8th. Marco has helped us and others save on print costs and become more productive. And at Menominee Street Dental, the most important smile is yours. Menominee Street Dental of Eau Claire. Meet the team or request an appointment at msdsmile.com. So Anna Dubois has been job shadowing today. I think she's landed an internship, which we're excited about. She's a senior at UW-Eau Claire. And Annie, you've been you go to church with Jason in Eau Claire. That's terrific. We'll mention the church, Cedar Creek. Pastor Rob Gerber is the president of our nonprofit board. Has served there for many years. Great guy. And so, Annie, you got a question hearing this whole discussion today.
Yeah, it's been really great to sit here and hear. And so, one question I have for you, Jason, is as this discourse was going on about. What were they called?
Intentional spiritual formation groups.
Okay, intentional spiritual formation groups. Mm-hmm. I think that is incredibly beautiful, and I think probably all the listeners are also thinking, wow, that's something really beautiful. But again, we have these masks and we have these walls built up. So yeah. How does that group form? Because we need those groups. I think it's beautiful, but how do we form it?
That is a wonderful question. Are we out of time yet?
No,
I'm okay. So I think in terms of that, the first word in that is intentional. And so I think a big piece of that is talking, you know, finding a group of like-minded people, you know, whether that's getting up in front of your local body of believers, finding people that you know, and saying, spiritual formation is important. Helping one another grow in Christ-likeness is a very important idea. It's what we're called to be shaped into Christ-likeness. One of the Larry's verses he talks a lot about is, Paul says, I'm in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And so there's that desire to help Christ be formed in one another. And so I think we have to start with that word intentional. I think it's, hey guys, I think this is really important to take a deeper look at this. It's going to be super uncomfortable to challenge one another, to grow. But we have to be intentional. We have to be committed. And we have to be willing and able to call one another out on stuff. I think it's a rare gift to have this. Our small group at church has been working through 66 Love Letters by Larry Crabb. And I think our group manages this better than a lot do. But it takes a lot of intentional work because our sinful tendency is to draw back from that. Our sinful tendency is to pull back from wanting to engage deeply with one another. And so I think it has to be, let's talk about this, let's keep talking about this, and let's stay committed to one another. I think that is really where it has to start.
The second thing is a whole lot of patience.
Yeah,
patience
absolutely.
Is the first fruit of love.
Yeah,
and I've been in a small group with a group of guys that has been going on for about 15 years. I haven't been very intentional for the past couple of years just because of some personal circumstances, but I am really going to make an effort this fall to get back into it. But pretty much the same group of guys have been meeting.
Yeah.
We've went through some of these books. But we've went through a variety of other books. But the discussion is, always we carry away is, how can this change me so I can love my wife better,
yeah.
love my kids better, love my, you know, in my yeah. occupation better?
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, not higher performance, but being able to relate better, being able to get others better so that you can speak to their heart.
Yeah. And I would just add, I like the idea of patience being first. There's
a group, takes time to form,
right.
for let people get
yeah.
their guards down.
I've been meeting with two guys from my church for 7 years, I think. We've been meeting together. And I think it took about three before we actually started
exactly.
relating well enough where we could call each other on stuff that we really and truly understood that we were for one another.
We're safe.
And that establishment of a safe community, that doesn't happen naturally. And that's where, that intentional piece has to come in. And so if I say to you, you know, if I say to one of my friends, I saw this, it's jogging season, and girls are outside running without clothes on, you know, I'm not being beat over the head with a stick. The guys are saying, okay, how can we pray for you with this? You know, and I think there's just an honesty that we're able to express with one another to be able to open up, how are you dealing with this? How can we pray for one another?
It's accountability without shaming.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And but that's why it takes time to develop.
Yeah.
Because deep down inside, we've all been shamed or wounded when we made, you know, stabs at trying to be vulnerable.
Yep.
And, you know, it takes time to see that the people you're with are going to use this wisely and not turn it against
right.
you. If you could see the first 4 or 5 years of this group I'm mm-hmm. in, if we had videotapes of it, we would all be throwing bids out there on the table to see, is this safe?
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. am I going to be able to open this up,
yeah.
you know, to a discussion, or am I going to have to pull it back because they may judge me?
Right.
You know, and we've all kind of learned it isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got to a safe place, but that's not typical, guys.
It's not typical.
All right, we're into the final 2 minutes, and thank you, guys. Yeah, again, Echo with the Saturday Morning Men's Group, hoping to continue here at WWIB, even after I head to Liberia, and this idea of where there's pretense, there's no spiritual growth, and getting real with each other. And I think if the leader models that, the vulnerability, I think, Anna, when you came in early this morning, even off air, you're like, you know what, can I just be transparent with you? I'm like, hello, that's my middle name. So, yeah.
Transparent Halverson.
As we get going here,
I can
though,
see right
again,
through that.
So many great Larry Crabb books we'd love to be able to tackle on future Crabb conversations. And we'll have to do that at some later date. But books like Soul Talk and Understanding People, which I think, Jason, you were rereading this year,
yep.
and The Papa Prayer and Real Church. Rob made reference to Safest Place on Earth. I think that's got a new title now, right?
Yeah, Becoming a True Spiritual Community.
Yeah, and so Larry's latest book is A Different Kind of Happiness, Discovering the Joy That Comes from Sacrificial Love. Again, learn more at newwayministries.org. You can't go wrong.
Can I just throw something in real quick? Mm-hmm. One of the best things I've found as far as reference material for Dr. Crabb to stay fresh in him is 66 love letters can be downloaded for your iPod or, you know, your Apple device or whatever. I strongly recommend doing that, because if you're having a bad day, it's great just to plug that thing in and hear where he's at with some of these issues in the Bible.
Yeah, we have all listened to that and on CD. Hey, we're out of time. Thank you so much. WWIB, Hallie Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. Rob, Jason, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
we're
going
to podcast up at WIB.com. Remember, it's August Catch and Match Month. It's in full swing. And thank you to Carrie for a gift of $10. Since it's Catch and Match, it's $20. Thank you, Carrie. Kevin, thank you for your donation of $45 to WIB Incorporated. It's doubled to $90. Thank you, Kevin and Jenny, for the gift of $25. It's now $50. Jenny, you caught the vision.